Okay, I would like to call our meeting to order, and if we could have a roll call, please.
Chair Brager?
Here.
Vice Chair Arascada?
Yep.
Regent Downs? Regent Goodman?
Here.
Regent McMichael?
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. We will first go to public comment, and I will share for those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 928-4944-5069, and the passcode is 555-555. And then I will ask for public comment from Las Vegas. Any public comment? Seeing none, is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
No, there's not.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There's no public comment at GBC at this time.
Thank you. And is there any public comment on the phone?
There's no public comment online at this time.
Thank you very much. We will continue on to item number two. Sorry, my computer just did something strange. The committee will consider approval of minutes from the December 12, 2023 meeting. Are there any... Why does it want to do that? Any corrections or comments? Seeing none, I would be open to a motion. The motion second. From Regent Downs and a second from Regent McMichael. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Hearing none, the motion, and I'll make sure I wait for you, Chair Arascada. Vice Chair Arascada. The motion passes. We are item number three. Based on direction provided by staff at December 12th, 2023 meeting, special counsel to the Board of Regents, Mr. Michael B. Wixom will present proposed revisions to ENCHI code and procedures and guidelines manual related to the chancellor information that we've been working on. Special counsel, if you'd like to do that at this time, that'd be great.
Thank you, Chair Brager. Michael Wixom for the record. And I appreciate very much this opportunity to share a few moments with you about these code and procedure changes. After our meeting, after your meeting, the immediate meeting when you discussed these possible changes, I went back through and listened to an audio of all of the minutes, the entire meeting, and I also read the minutes to make sure I understood what your directives were, and I wanted to double check and make sure I hadn't missed anything. And I also included Chair Brager in the proposed modifications. I also included Chancellor Patty Charlton as well as Jimmy Martinez as we went through this process very carefully. What we've presented, I don't know that there's any reason for me to go through a line-by-line explanation. I think that would be redundant. You have it in front of you. And I'm certainly available for questions. But I wanted to give you some general themes that I was searching for and my objectives in crafting these policy changes. First, I wanted to clarify internal policies and procedures. There were some ambiguities. Not all of the ambiguities are gone, but I think we've moved forward in a positive direction. I wanted to simplify the process. It's not as simple as I would like to see it, but it's simpler than it was, I think. I wanted, third, to provide for a more inclusive process. Specifically, I wanted the regents to be more included in the process of selecting a search firm and the process of selecting a search firm, and we've certainly done that. The other aspect of inclusion is to provide opportunities for the community to be included. You'll see that I've clarified who would be part of the advisory committee in my proposed changes, and I've also capped the number of the advisory committee at 20. The reason I did that is based on my experience. You can only hear so many people, and you can only engage with so many people. And That's something of an arbitrary number based on my own experience. I felt as though it needed to be high enough to provide representation from the community at large, from the institutions, from the presidents, from the students, but not so large that the participants in the community, in the committee, felt like they didn't provide a productive exchange. And so it's there. That is something of an arbitrary figure. I included that figure for your discussion. Happy to talk about it. But I felt that seemed to be a nice balance between including the community and then keeping it small enough so that their participation could be meaningful. I remember years ago, Milt Glick, when he was president of UNR, told me, never confuse efficiency with effectiveness. And I think that's wise counsel. So we're trying to get a good balance between efficiency and effectiveness here. We also hope that if these procedures and policies are acceptable to you as a committee and to the board as a whole, that they'll serve as something of a template for changes in the presidential search process. So I'll pause there and ask if you have any questions.
Okay, I'd like to open that up to the committee first, and if anyone not on the committee has a question, it'll go after that person will go after that. Any questions on the work that we have done? This committee is just so easy. Seeing none, is there any questions by any non-committee members? Chair Carvello.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Chair Brager. Now I'm trying to find it because I was writing down that quote that Mr. Wixom said. I like that. And I've had this discussion with him, and I think his answer is viable. I just wanted to put it on the record that I had the question, but now I can't find it. Yes, this is old item H, new item I, on page 3 of 4, regarding the members of the group that will put together the possible search consultants. This includes the chair of the chancellor search and the chancellor and the chief of staff to the board. My question to Mr. Wixom had been if the chancellor that there may be circumstances where the chancellor may not be appropriate in this group. And also Chancellor Charlton had chimed in, and also Ms. Nicola Dusky also. So I would like to put that on the record that I did have that question regarding that, and if they could give the committee some of the feedback that they had given me. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Carvello. Michael Wixom for the record. It is an excellent question. It's one of those operational and detailed questions that sometimes are overlooked, and I think it's a helpful discussion. The reason that we intentionally included, that I intentionally included the chancellor in that process is that the chancellor is the chief contracting officer for the system, and we thought it was important that we include that. That was after discussions with the chancellor and Carrie Nikolajewski. And because they have a great deal of experience, obviously, in this operational side of it. If for whatever reason the chancellor is not there, then the officer in charge in place of the chancellor would step into that role. And that's part of the normal practices and policies of ENSHE. And so whoever wouldn't, if for some reason the chancellor is left or they're incapacitated or they're not available, which has given rise to the search, then the officer in charge would step into that role. But we thought it was important that that person be there because they are the contracting officer. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm certainly open to any other questions. I mean, parts of it are rather technical, and I'm certainly open to ideas. We took our best shot. I feel, though, after listening to your comments on the audio and reading the minutes, I feel that we're pretty close to what you wanted in terms of moving this process forward.
Sorry, any questions from the committee? on A or B, or what Mr. Special Counsel Wixom said? Seeing none, and this is an information-only item because we would be bringing the...
If I may, Chair Brigger, Michael Wixom for the record, I would just remind the committee that we're looking at two documents. There's a B, the B document as well, which is the proposed revisions and the procedures guidelines. So be sure and look at both that you're, as you're evaluating. And if you have any questions on the second part, we actually, this was Carrie Nikolajewski's suggestion. Carrie said, this doesn't make sense because it's all out of order. And so we reordered everything at her suggestion, which I, and so it flows more naturally in a waterfall because before it was disjointed. And so, and I think that was her suggestion and an excellent one. So we reordered that so that the process would follow more naturally so that you wouldn't have to flip back and forth between the process.
I wanted to ask if on A or of item three, A or B, any comments or questions before we move on. I just want to thank the committee. We have worked on our first meeting so diligently that we got work done that we needed to get done. They were able to get items to the agenda early so that they could look and see if there was anything they needed questions on. And so that's appreciated. Then we will go ahead and go on to new business information only at this time. I love these kind of committees. No new business at this time. Go ahead. Oh, we'll go back
Richard
to public.
Brager?
Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Richard Brager. And I was trying to jump in on the previous item, but perhaps this is up to the discretion of the search consultant. However, in the policy, we need to – I strongly oppose anybody trying to how can I put this? When we have a closing date needs to be the closing date. I know this may be up to the discretion of the search consultant, but for those individuals that are interested in the chancellor position of the Nevada System of Higher Education, is that they must go through the process as every other candidate. What I'm trying to say is when a person may have voice and interest in this position, not trying to slide through the side door. We want each candidate to go through the same interview process, the same background, the same review process. And I'm not sure if that's – I see you, Mr. Wixom. And I'm not sure if that's going to go to the search consultant, or is that something we can put into policy, sir?
Special Counsel Wixom.
Thank you, Michael Wixom, for the record. And I think that also, Regent Ayerscott, is an excellent question. To the years, I've struggled with the level of detail that one incorporates in these policies. And it's difficult to anticipate every possible issue that we would face. And so my general advice in that regard would be, I don't think you should leave that up to the consultant. I think that should be an issue for the committee itself. And I think the first meeting of the committee, I think the committee, the Board of Regents committee that's tasked with the chancellor search should give that direction to the consultant. I think that's one of the advantages with this policy is that you're involved in the consultant selection process. That can be part of that evaluation. And if you try to anticipate every possible issue, then you may miss some. And so in that regard, by keeping it with this level of flexibility, I think you'll be able to address those concerns at that time and fashion those concerns to the search in front of you. Is that responsive to your question, Regent Ayerscott?
Yes, sort of in the roundabout way. So what you're stating is when the selection of the search consultant is identified, we can at that point notify or encourage the search consultant that at the closing date is the closing date. That is the closing date.
And I think it's more direct than notify or suggest. I think you give that direction. And you may want the closing date, and that's one of the issues that we faced, and we talked about it as we were crafting this. Do we want searches to take place at a specific time during the year, for example? I mean, what's the optimal time? And that can be a function that could change. I mean, we know we have advice now as to what those optimal times are That could change in the future, or you may face an urgent situation that would require that you not consider those specific time frames. And so, I mean, that's just an example. But I think more specifically, it's not merely a suggestion to the search firm. It would be the direction that you give the search firm when you meet with them at your initial meeting.
Thank you, counsel. Appreciate it, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you,
Chair Brager.
Thank you. No problem. Regent Goodman.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Regent Goodman, for the record, I had a quick question for legal. Is it just because this is, you know, in perpetuity, basically, we're trying to make a policy that is going to work as we move forward? And I'm not concerned about our situation right now, but moving forward, is it something where we need to address if the chancellor is interim or acting? Is there a potential for conflict there? Just if, you know, in the event that it's an interim, then they may be a part of that search. If it's an acting, they are not. Do we need to consider this? I trust your judgment.
Thank you, Regent Goodman. Michael Wixom, for the record. We've addressed those issues in other parts of the policy. So my advice would be to leave that issue in that silo at this point in time. And if you, as a board, want to change the procedures and policies around interim and acting, you can certainly do so. I have viewed that as an independent issue from this process. And I'm trying to keep this process discreet from that issue, because that issue, it deserves attention and thought in a different way, and it creates a different set of policy waterfall decisions. Is that responsive to your question? Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you. Is there anyone that is not on the committee that has a comment at this time, since we kind of went backwards a little bit? Okay, seeing none, we'll go back to public comment. I will ask for public comment in Las Vegas. I do not see any. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is no public comment at GBC.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
None in Reno.
Thank you. And is there any public comment on the telephone?
There is none at this time.
Thank you. At this time, then, I like to keep to my 11:30 time frame. We will adjourn this meeting. Thank you so much.